So today we're going to be looking mostly in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to get there eventually. It's going to be a little bit before we get there. But if you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll be there in just a short time. But before we get there, I want to draw your attention to a verse in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 2. This is a fairly well-known verse. It's one of my favorite verses. It says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This verse is one of many reminders in God's word that as followers of Christ, he has called us to live lives that are noticeably different. He says, don't be conformed to this world. In other words, don't just go along with the pattern, the beliefs, the values and priorities of this world. Your lives should be noticeably different from that. He says, don't just blend in. Don't just go along. He says, your lives are different. And it starts by renewing our minds in Christ. And that renewal leads to this. It enables us to test all things. It enables us to be discerning. It enables us to take what the world is telling us is true, what the world is telling us to value, and to measure that by God's word and be able to say, no, that's what they're saying, but this is what God says, and I'm going to follow what God says. The New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God has called us not to just follow the patterns of this world, but to believe differently, to think differently, to live differently, and that difference is noticeable. And we've talked in the past in this series about how there's so many groups out there taking passages of Scripture, biblical truths and verses, and twisting them to pretend they say something they don't, to pretend that they endorse something they don't. And this verse is no exception. This verse that tells us, don't conform to the world. Make sure as followers of Christ, your lives are noticeably different. Make sure that you are renewing your mind so that you can think and live and act the way Christ would have you to. Even this verse has been twisted to fit a very evil agenda. Talked a few weeks ago about how some churches have this drag queen Bible story hour. And I'm going to show you a brief video clip, about 15 seconds or so, of a church that is doing this. That has a man coming in dressed like he thinks a woman looks. And he goes by the name Miss Penny Cost, making a mockery of one of the most important days, the day of Pentecost, in the Christian faith. And having a conversation with small children and bringing this verse into it. Here's a brief video.
Have any questions for Miss Pentecost?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you like her eyeshadow. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she'll let you borrow it. When you're older, when you're allowed to wear makeup. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things I think is great about Miss Pentecost is she reminds us that we follow a God who calls us to not conform to things of this world. That we're supposed to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And that means that what I think today may have to change tomorrow if I continue to renew my mind. And it's so cool that we serve a God that calls us to continue to grow and continue to change into something new, and to not be bound by the ways that the world confines us.
Okay. There's a lot there. But in short, twisting this verse to say that that's what the transformation's about, and that not conforming to the world means conforming to the world. There's a lot to say about this video, but I'm just simply going to say this. I sincerely mean this. I pity these men come judgment day. They think they're so sophisticated, so tolerant and intellectual, but in reality, all they're doing is guaranteeing that the day will come when they will face a very angry God and a very harsh judgment. There's no part of me that wants to preach the message I'm going to preach this morning, because there are some things happening that are so dark and disturbing that they're just not enjoyable to talk about, but we have to. Because it's important for us to know that our children are being targeted. There is an agenda. that is being targeted towards our children and our grandchildren, towards families, towards the future of this country, and we have to talk about that. So I'm just going to pause, and I just want to pray for a minute and just ask God to help us out here. And then I want to talk about some of what is being done and then what God calls us to do in response to that. So let's just pause and pray. Father, we just want to ask you to come and meet with us right now as we talk about some things that are very disturbing to us, and I know things that break your heart. God, I pray that you would give us the mind of Christ. I pray that you will help us to guard our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to hear what you are saying to us about how we should respond to all of this. So we just invite you, Lord, to open our eyes, even though that's not enjoyable. Awaken us to what is happening and give us a clear sense of what you're calling us to do and to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Yes, They Are Coming for Your Children. And we see reminders of this pretty much every day. I'm going to show another very brief video, about 15 or 16 seconds. This goes back to July of last year. It's titled A Message from the Gay Community. It's a song that was put together by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. And this was publicized on the internet last July. Here's a brief look at that.
We'll convert your children. Someone's got to teach them not to.
Okay, so over and over again saying, we're going to convert your children, we're coming for your children. When this showed up on the internet, there was a lot of feedback to that, obviously. And the response to that feedback was, come on, don't get so excited, it's a joke. They're just being sarcastic. Because you religious people, you have this idea that they're trying to convert your kids to become gay, and they're mocking you for that ridiculous idea. Really? Is this really a joke? What about that video is actually false? Because the truth is, yes, they are coming for our children. There's an actual agenda out there targeting our kids. And if you notice that, and if you're concerned about that, they will mock you for being concerned about it. We're going to talk today about two specific areas where our children are being targeted. There's many more. We're just going to talk about two, the schools and the entertainment industry. And real, all I'm going to do for the next few minutes here is just read some of the headlines and brief summaries from news stories that have happened just in the past year and a half, 2 years. So let's start with schools. Wisconsin. This goes back to July of 2021. A school district in Wisconsin providing sexually explicit books to third graders. Some of the content of some of what they're teaching is teaching third graders how to access and use sex apps. This is in third grade. Also July of last year, Nebraska Department of Education updated their standards to include a lot more of this agenda targeting children in the schools, including starting at kindergarten, teaching kindergartners the names of reproductive body parts and introducing them to the idea of gender identity. And the further you go in the curriculum, the further you go in the ages and the grades, the more explicit it becomes, to the point that one pediatrician read through all of this and said this: if you were a pedophile and wanted to prep your kid on how to become a victim, this is the curriculum you would use. A preschool in St. Louis, that's 3- and 4-year-olds, actively introducing the idea of being transgender to young kids using a book called Red, which is a story about a red crayon that feels like it's actually supposed to be a blue crayon. And the message, the lesson, is that you also might be trapped in the wrong body and you need to be aware of that. This is being taught to 3- and 4-year-olds. Last year in October, Broward County, Florida, a school board member took elementary school kids to a gay bar on a field trip. Posted about it on Twitter and talked about how proud they are and how honored they are to be a part of this amazing adventure with elementary school kids. In New York City, May of this year, a middle school had drag queens coming into the classroom to do a tutorial on how to apply drag queen makeup. So they had these men dressed up as ridiculous parodies of what they think a woman looks like and putting this clown makeup on kids, teaching them how they too could become drag queens, middle school kids. Or have you heard about gender transition closets? This became a trend back in March of this year in middle schools, starting in California, also in Colorado, now spreading to some other schools as well in middle school, where they're putting up this special room where a 12-year-old boy can go in, change into a dress, wear that for the day because that's his identity, change back before he goes home, and mom and dad have no idea that any of this is happening. A high school in Kentucky last October had a student assembly called a man pageant, which featured teenage boys dressing in women's lingerie, not dresses, but lingerie, and dancing on teachers, sitting on their laps, sitting on their knees, as a high school assembly. Unless you think, okay, this is Lancaster County, we're safe from that. This is a, you know, fairly conservative, fairly traditional area. You've probably heard the story about Hempfield High School not too long ago. Hosting a drag show that included sexualized clothing and dancing, students were encouraged to bring tips to give to the queens, encouraged to support their Instagram accounts and follow them on social media. Parents were not informed of this or sought permission at all and found out this has been going on for a couple of years now. Now, what I just shared with you, that's just 6 or 7 news stories from the past year and a half. There's a lot more I could share. This folder contains probably about half of the articles that I read through in preparation for this message today. This stuff is happening all over the place. There's a lot of it, including schools that are taking down gender-specific signs from bathrooms, telling students and staff, use whatever bathroom you're comfortable with, that's fine. Or the high school in Vermont where the girls' volleyball team was banned from using their own locker room because the girls were upset about boys going into their locker room and changing because that was their identity. And they said, we're not comfortable with that. So the girls were banned from their own locker room. This stuff is happening all over. Our children are under attack. And it is happening in our schools. It's also happening in entertainment. They're actively targeting our children. Parents, do you know what your kids are watching? Do you know what is being shown, not just on the internet, but on TV shows? And I mean TV shows for little kids. Shows like Muppet Babies, Arthur, Blue's Clues, Peppa Pig, pretty much anything on Disney these days. They're going out of their way to normalize this stuff. Teaching kids that, yes, you should question your gender. Your mommy and daddy, they guessed that you were a boy. They guessed that you were a girl. But maybe they were wrong. So little boys, it's okay to dress up like girls. It's okay to identify as a girl. This kind of stuff is being actively promoted to your children, to small children on TV shows that target small children. Just in September, Peppa Pig, a kid's show, introduced a female same-sex couple. One of the characters, Penny Polar Bear, drew a picture of her and her two moms having a meal together, and she said, I live with my mommy and my other mommy. Muppet Babies in August of last year put a new spin on the Cinderella story, featuring a cross-dressing male character named Gonzo, who calls himself Gonzarella. So now we have cross-dressing Muppet Babies. And this is targeting small children. And this is becoming the norm in TV shows targeting kids, in commercials targeting kids. I mean, seriously, think about this. Parents, if someone came up to your child, if a stranger came up to your child on the playground and said, hey, little boy, you ever put on a dress? You should try it. It's a lot of fun. Like, you would call the police, right? But when Disney does, well, I know some of you are shaking your head. You wouldn't. But when Disney does that exact same thing, we throw money at them. And we welcome them into our homes and call it harmless entertainment. How about this? Have you heard of this rapper, Lil Nas X? He's known for doing a lot of things targeting children. He's been on Sesame Street a couple times. He's done concerts in schools where young kids are. Last year, he was out there selling shoes that have a pentagram on them. The number 666, Luke 10:18, that's the verse where Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. These shoes supposedly also have a drop of human blood in them. And this is made by Nike. He also put out a music video portraying him going to hell and performing sexual acts on Satan. And now he's saying that he wants children to be his core audience. He's writing children's books. There's a push for him to have a musical tour with the musical children's group, the Wiggles. They're targeting children, young children, with this stuff. How about Disney? Disney is not safe for kids.
That's right.
Disney is no longer a family-friendly entertainment company. They have an agenda. And we could spend hours talking about Disney. Let me just mention a few things, though. Earlier this year, they put out a line of toys, their Pride plush toys. These are LGBTQ Pride-themed toys marketed, as they say, to children age 0+. So it's Disney characters with a rainbow design, just like they updated the logo of Marvel and Star Wars to include the rainbow flag. The tag on it reads this: in celebration of Pride in the company's Pride collection, the Walt Disney Company is giving funds as part of our ongoing commitment to organizations around the world that support LGBTQ plus communities. So they're giving money to these groups that target young children, that target youth. This is what Disney is supporting financially. So that Disney Plus subscription, those movie tickets to see Star Wars and Marvel movies, this is what they're supporting financially. Their animated series Baymax, which is for young children. One episode included two men dating each other. Another episode included a transgender man. That's a man who thinks he's a woman in a drugstore giving advice on which feminine hygiene products he prefers. Something he would never need or use, but they're normalizing this kind of stuff to young children. The movie Lightyear included a lesbian couple greeting each other with a kiss on the lips. The 2020 Pixar short film called Out featured a gay lead character coming out to his parents. At Disney parks, they no longer give the greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because that might exclude transgender people. Those who are non-binary would be excluded by that. That's offensive, so they don't do that anymore. And this comes from the top. This comes from their leadership structure. Their CEO, Bob Chapek, launched a task force earlier this year with the goal of making more LGBTQ content targeting children and families. We have Disney executives openly saying they have a, quote, not-so-secret gay agenda. Openly saying they want to increase this kind of content, saying we don't have enough gay lead characters in our movies and TV shows. We don't have enough transgender characters in our movies and TV shows. We need to have more of that. That's what Disney is focusing their time, attention, and money on right now. And if that's not enough, earlier this year, Disney's FX released an animated series called Little Demon. It's a story about a woman who's impregnated by Satan and gives birth to a daughter who is the Antichrist. And she's the hero of the story. This is an animated series for children, and the show includes foul language, nudity, graphic violence. It introduces children to a very lighthearted version of hell and demonic activity. That's what Disney is doing. That's what Disney is promoting to children. And again, these are just a few examples. We need to understand this. Our children are being targeted. Parents, do you know what your kids are watching? Do you know what they're listening to you? Do you know what they have access to when they have a phone or an iPad? And I see parents sometimes giving their little kids, like little toddlers, like, here's my phone. And all the stuff that's out there on YouTube and TikTok, all the stuff that they can access so quickly and so easily, when we do that, we are entrusting our kids to random strangers who can post all kinds of vile and disgusting information online. Think about it this way. How many of you parents, if you needed some time to work on things at home and you didn't want your kids interrupting you, or maybe you're going out with some friends and you need your kids to be occupied and entertained, how many of your parents would say, well, I'm just going to drop them off in downtown Philly for a few hours. They'll be fine. I'll let downtown Philly take care of them. Like, obviously nobody would do that, right? No responsible parent would do that. Drop them off in downtown Philly just to keep them occupied. No, you wouldn't do that. But how many of us will drop our kids off unsupervised at the hands of the internet? Or even TV shows now, for hours at a time. Do you have any idea the moral, emotional, and spiritual danger we are putting our kids in when we give them unrestricted access to all the stuff that's being pushed out there? This is the world we live in now. And what it means is, as parents, we have to invest time in this. We have to invest time knowing what is safe and what is not for our kids. And I mean with school, with entertainment, with websites. We need to know what's safe and not safe for our kids to engage in and to take active steps to protect our kids. Because if we don't, we are making a decision to just hand them over.
That's right.
We're making a decision to allow them to be indoctrinated into a godless worldview that promotes evil and immorality. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, like I said, this is not a message I've been looking forward to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God gives Israel some instructions. Israel had just come out of Egypt, and God is preparing them for what it would look like to live for Him. He's preparing them for the time when they will enter the promised land, and they'll be in a land that is filled with pagan people who do not believe in God. And He gives them some warnings, and He says this: listen, you and your kids, you're going to be surrounded by people who reject the truth, who oppose Me. You're going to be surrounded by people who have no sense of morality, who have no idea, no desire to do what is right and good and holy. You're going to be surrounded by people who want to lead you away from Me, who want to drag your kids away from Me and away from You. They're going to want to destroy your families. Does any of this sound familiar? So God gives them these commands and instructions. And He says, this is what it looks like to follow Me. This is what it means to live for Me in the middle of a culture like that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, here's what He says. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. I want you to notice here, it starts with you. He doesn't focus on other people first. He says, it starts with you. You love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. You make sure you are wholeheartedly obeying these commands. It starts with you walking in the right relationship with God and living in obedience to Him. That's where it starts. But it doesn't end there. Look at verse 7. He says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. A couple thoughts here from this passage. Number one, as parents, we must invest in the spiritual growth and protection of our kids. We must do that. Parents, bringing your kids to church once a week is good, but it's not enough. And far too many Christian parents don't even do that. When you think of all that's coming against our kids right now, all the stuff they're hearing in the schools, all the stuff they're seeing in entertainment, all the indoctrination coming against them, the godless anti-Christian rhetoric that is being forced upon them, once a week in church isn't nearly enough to offset that. It doesn't even come close. They need to be renewed in their minds, just like Romans 12:2 says, and that's a daily pursuit. And that begins in the home. That begins with mom and dad. This world that we live in, the world system, this culture is actively targeting your children, actively indoctrinating your children. And what that means is this: as parents, we have to be actively involved in the spiritual growth and protection of our kids. Just bringing them to church consistently every week, that's not enough. It's a start, but it's not enough. And notice the instructions He gives here. He doesn't say, just let the priest take care of it. Just bring them to the temple on the Sabbath. Unless you have other stuff going on, that's okay to just be here when it's convenient. No, He doesn't say that. Notice He says, in everyday life, you're prompting these kinds of conversations. He says, repeat them again and again and again and again. Talk about them at home. Talk about them on the road. Talk about it at bedtime. Put it on your wrists and your forehead and the doorposts of your home. In other words, make sure the truth of God's word is central in your lives. That it's not just something that's off to the side, but it is at the center of what you do as a family. And make sure your kids see that and hear that. Parents, we must invest in the spiritual growth and protection of our kids.
Amen.
Number two, our relationship with God is closely tied to our role as parents. Moms, dads, your walk with Christ is not just between you and God. It's not. Your kids need to see it. They need to hear it from you. They need to see you model what it means to love God, what it means to serve God, what it means to walk with Him, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need you to model that for them. That's how they're going to learn. Notice he says here, you, in the first few verses we looked at, he says, you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make sure you are wholeheartedly committing yourselves to these commands. It starts with you, and only then does he say, repeat them again and again. It starts with you. Parents, are you growing spiritually? Are you pursuing God? Are you making Him the priority of your life? Are you walking in the fullness of the Spirit? Are you making this and other avenues of spiritual growth a priority? Coming here consistently, spending time in prayer consistently, spending time reading God's word consistently. It has to start with you, but it can't end there. They've got to see it. Because if your kids aren't hearing God's truth from you, if they're not seeing it lived out in your life, you think they're going to hear it at the schools or on the internet or from Disney? If they're not learning from you who God is and what He's like, if they're not learning from you what the meaning and value of life is, what the purpose of life is, if they're not learning from you what marriage actually means, if they're not learning from you what it looks like to be sexually moral and pure, what it means to have a life of obedience to God, if they're not learning from you what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, if they're not hearing that from you, I promise you they are hearing it from someone else. Just because we don't talk about it to our kids doesn't mean they're not hearing anything. What it means is they're hearing one side of that story. And it's a very perverted and evil side of that story. If we're not having these conversations with our kids, what that means is our enemy is speaking to them very deliberately about these issues while we sit back passively and do nothing. Do you think our enemy is passive when it comes to your kids? Do you think he's hands off? Not interested in their spiritual growth, their spiritual life at all? Absolutely not. There's no way he is passive. So why should we be? Why should we be so actively involved in every area of our kids' lives, but passive when it comes to their spiritual growth? I've heard this my whole life. I've heard parents saying things like this: well, I don't want to push my religion on my kids. I want them to choose for themselves. I can't force them to go to church because then they're going to resent the church. They're going to resent God. They're going to turn against God. Really, is that working out so well? Do you think your kids are going to automatically learn to love God because they don't go to church? You make them go to school. Which is more important in the long run? Here's what I've never heard a parent say. I've never heard a parent say, I can't force education on my child. I'm just going to let them decide. I don't want to make them go to school because then they'll resent school. They'll resent learning. They won't want to have any education. I've never heard parents say that ever about school or education. We don't treat our kids that way in any other realm of life, but only in this one. In every other area, we make sure that they do things we believe are going to help them to grow and be mature adults. Why in this one area do we think we have to be passive? And do you think that idea came from God? Or did that come from someone else? I guarantee you it didn't come from God, because in these verses, he specifically commands us, parents, you need to be actively involved. Have these conversations. Teach these truths to your kids. Model this for your kids. And all throughout the Bible, that includes, spiritual growth includes, gathering together with others consistently to worship God together and to learn His word together, just as we're doing right now. And if we don't place high value on this, if we don't make this coming together like this consistently, if we don't make this a priority on Sundays, what we are teaching our kids by default is this, that it's okay to push spiritual growth aside if something else is more important to you. That's what we're teaching them. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, we spent a little bit talking about how the schools and the entertainment industry are targeting and indoctrinating our kids. How many hours a week do they have access to your kids? How many hours a week are your kids in school hearing all of this stuff? How many hours a week are your kids in front of a screen seeing and being indoctrinated into all of this stuff? How many hours a week does the world have access to your kids? And yet we think 1 or 2 hours a week in church is too harsh, asking too much, demanding too much, too controlling. I think things are way out of balance when it comes to where our kids are spiritually. Let's jump down to verse 20. He says, in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had sworn to give our ancestors. We talked before about us prompting those conversations. Here he's talking about conversations prompted by our kids. He's talking about teachable moments and being ready to respond to those teachable moments. Our kids tend to ask questions, and that's a very good thing. And he says, when they do, engage with them. Have those conversations with them. And here's what that means. Notice here, the assumption is your kids are going to ask questions. The assumption is you're going to have an answer for them. Here's what this means. Look at what God did. We know our history. We know what God has said and done in the past. There's an assumption that as parents, we know that. Here's what I mean by that. Parents, it is our responsibility, bless you. Parents, it is our responsibility to know what we believe and why we believe it. It's our responsibility to know what does the Bible say about these issues we've been talking about and to be prepared to engage and have these conversations with our kids. Sometimes I hear parents saying things, well, I don't know that much about the Bible. Well, then get to know the Bible. Like if only there was a place we could go, I don't know, maybe on a Sunday morning where we could learn more, or where women could go on a Monday night, or men could go on the opposite Monday night, or where we could go on a Wednesday night to learn how to pray. If only there was a place we could go to learn this kind of stuff, wouldn't that be great? You understand my point? If you don't know the Bible very well, that is a problem that is very easy to resolve. There are countless opportunities for us. We have more access to God's Word and to resources to help us understand God's Word than at any other time and any other place in history. Here's what that means. It is 100% your decision whether or not you know God's Word. If you don't know God's word very well, that is because you've chosen not to know God's word very well. And your decision as parents on how much you will know God's word, how much you will invest in that, that will have a massive impact on your kids, either positive or negative. Because as parents, if we're passive about our own spiritual growth, then we will raise kids who will be at least dismissive, if not antagonistic, towards God. Part of the reason our culture is where it is goes back to the home. It goes back to the passivity of far too many churches and the passivity of far too many Christian parents and families. God's purpose for the family, God's purpose for us as parents is far different from that. Here's what God envisions. Look at Malachi 2:15. He says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? That's the question. The question isn't, what's all the stuff my kid wants to be involved in? What's the school saying? What are the TV shows they want to watch? What are the websites they want to visit? No, what does God want? That's the question when it comes to raising our kids. What is God's desire for my children? That needs to determine what we do as parents. What does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. That's God's desire. He wants us to raise godly children who will then raise godly children who will then raise godly children. That's how a culture is transformed. The opposite of that has happened, and that's why we are where we are. God's desire for your kids, he wants them to be godly kids. He wants them to be followers of Christ. That is the goal of parenting. Now, as parents, you know this. You can't control that, but you do play a huge role in that. Absolutely. And that is your primary calling as a parent. That's far more important than providing a college education, providing financial stability, or making sure they eat healthy. Nothing wrong with those things. Those are good things. But if we succeed in all of those other areas, but we take a passive approach to their spiritual life, what have they actually gained? We cannot be passive in this area. We've got to make sure that we are growing spiritually, and we've got to make sure that we are building into our kids spiritually by praying for them and praying with them, by modeling for them what it looks like in everyday life to follow Christ, to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, to live for him. By making spiritual growth, and that includes this and other avenues for spiritual growth, by making that a priority and letting them see that. And by having honest, Bible-based conversations with them about what they're being told and what their Creator has to say about that. That is our responsibility as parents. I want to close with this. About a week ago, Sheila reminded me of a powerful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to encourage you to make this a model for how you pray for your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews. Make it a model for how you lift them up to God consistently. This is in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. I'm just going to read through this. If you want to follow along in your Bible, it's not going to be on the screen. If you want to follow along in your Bible, or if you want to just in your heart, just pray this prayer for your kids. Ephesians 3, it starts with this, verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. There is value in falling to our knees before God. Reminds us who's in control. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. God, I pray for my daughter that you will empower her through your Holy Spirit. Lord, you have unlimited resources available to her. I pray that she will have full access to that, Lord. That you will fill her with your Holy Spirit and that you will empower her to live a godly life and to serve you for your glory. He continues, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. God, I pray for my daughter. Help her to trust you with all of her heart. Jesus, I pray that you will feel at home in her heart, that her heart will be single-minded towards you, that you will be at the very center of her life. He says your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. God, I pray for my daughter that she will have deep roots spiritually, that her walk with you will not be shallow, but just like a tree that has deep roots and it can withstand the storms and the winds, that she would have deep roots in her life in you that will keep her strong no matter what comes against her. And then he says this, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. God, help my daughter to understand how deeply you love her. I pray that that would not be a question for her, but God, that she will know without a doubt that she is loved, that she is valued, and God, that it wouldn't just be knowledge, but she would experience that love, God. That love that our minds can't even begin to comprehend. God, let her experience that touch from you and that she would know in her heart of hearts that you love her dearly. And then he says this, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So Lord, I pray for my daughter that she will be made complete in you. You offer life, you offer power. Lord, I pray that none of what you have for her would be missing, but that you would fill her to overflowing with your life and with your power in Jesus' name. And in case you're thinking that my child is too far gone, I have a son or a daughter or a grandchild that's just, they've so turned away from God. I don't ever see it turning around. I have no hope for them anymore. Let me direct your attention to verse 20. He says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So God, I thank you that there is no one who is too far away from you. There is no one who you cannot reach. There is no prayer we pray that doesn't matter to you. There is no cry that we cry out for our kids, for our grandkids, that goes unheard by you. They matter to you and you love them. And God, I thank you that it is not impossible for you. You are the God of the impossible. So we ask you to do the impossible, Lord. I pray especially right now for those parents and those grandparents who have a loved one who is just far from you and it just looks hopeless. God, renew their hope. And your word tells us that you will teach us, you will lead us to pray in the Spirit for them. I pray that, Lord, that you will lead us in how to pray effectively for our kids, for those that we're concerned about. And God, that we will see answers to prayer, that we will see those who are far from you coming back home to you and just absolutely being set on fire for you. Lord, we've been praying for revival. We pray that it will come quickly. And we pray that that will be a key part of that revival. Seeing those prodigals, seeing those lost sheep come running back home to the Father, knowing that you will welcome them back. And we give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, that was not an easy message to preach, and I'm sure it was not an easy message to listen to. So our closing song is a song that focuses on hope. It's a song that focuses on the fact that God has the ability to turn around those things that we think are impossible. So we're going to sing this together as an expression of faith and thanksgiving that God is the one who can turn things around. Let's stand together.